Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
And it's wonderful to look out and see your faces and share with you something out of this passage in Luke. So Luke is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And there's a lot of reasons for it. One of the reasons for it is it's got more about women in it than any other. And those gospel stories about women are just full of hope and full of life. So today I'm just going to be doing that passage that's there on the screen. And I just wanted to say to get started, you know, have you got a Bible with you today? Who's got a Bible? If you've got a Bible, hold your Bible up like that in the air. So what is the Bible about? What is the simple message of the Bible? Yeah, phone is good, Mark. I've got one on my phone as well. That's a very handy to be able to read the Bible anywhere. I highly recommend it. What is the Bible about? The Bible has one purpose. One purpose. Even though it's written over such a long period of time, hundreds of years, spanning great changes in people's lives, written by multiple authors, it's got one message. That one message is, look at Jesus. The Old Testament prepares people to see Jesus when he came. The New Testament identifies Jesus and shows us Jesus in detail. And then the second half of the New Testament is people talking about what they've seen in Jesus and sharing what they've seen of Jesus with other people. And so I want to say to you today, let's look at Jesus today. Luke is a great place to be looking at Jesus because out of all the Gospels, it's the one that makes a claim at the beginning of it that's largely based on research from eyewitness testimonies. So the writer of the Gospel went looking for the people that had seen Jesus and asked them what they saw. And he wrote it down. So if you want to see Jesus, read the Gospels and read Luke. It's a good one for that. So I know that we have been going through Luke here, and I've heard many of those wonderful messages about it. One of the things that people sometimes do when they're reading the Bible, when they're reading the Gospels, is they're looking for, what did Jesus tell me to do? So they're looking for, what are the regulations? What are the rules for life? Have you heard of that famous book, 12 Rules for Life? Jesus didn't give a book called The Rules for Life. He didn't. Jesus came to show something much greater. So this passage, I want to look at it from that point of view, and I want to say, let's look closely at Jesus and see what he's doing. And then we will be able to put the message that he's given in the context of who he is. So I haven't got the clicker, Mark. I am totally relying on you to read my mind. Let's read the first section. Okay. Verse 1 to 6. So this section that we're doing today is, I'm going to say, it's a section that's about going to dinner with Jesus. So it starts out, on one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees, that's the very religious leaders of the Jews, to eat a meal on the Sabbath. And they were watching him closely. They were watching him closely. They were watching him, but were they seeing him? That's the question I'm going to ask. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. Now, does anyone know what dropsy is? Ted knows. So it's swelling, isn't it? It's when you've got edema, when you've got fluid in your body. And you can have it from multiple causes, and they're all terrible. It can be your kidneys are packing it in. It can be your lungs are packing it in. It can be your heart is packing it in. It can be your liver. Whatever it is, having edema in your body is a terrible, terrible thing. So this would have been a puffy-looking guy. Everyone could see that he had serious illness that was maybe life-threatening. A lot of people in Israel who had dropsy, they had it from malaria. So it might have been a chronic thing that this man was battling, that he had a serious illness. So Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not? So this is the Sabbath day. They're all going to dinner, you know. Everyone's on their best behavior, you know. Going for dinner, and he says, is it okay to heal this man? Now, you got to get the Jews into context. You know, they believe there's a lot of things you can't do on the Sabbath. Can't lift anything heavier than a fig, for example. Can't walk anything further than, I don't remember how far it is, but it's not very far at all. So wherever they were going to dinner and walking to, it was close. So everyone was on their best behavior, very observant Jews going to this Pharisee dinner, and Jesus is saying to them, you know, there's a sick man right in front of me. Is it okay? But they were silent. Not going to open that hornet's nest. So Jesus took the man and healed him and sent him away. So can you imagine? He healed him and sent him away. That means this puffed up guy was suddenly not a puffed up guy, and he goes away. What do you think the others did? So Jesus said to them, if one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day? And they couldn't reply. Silence. No jumping up and down going, whoa, did you see that? What were those guys seeing? What were they seeing? They weren't seeing Jesus. They were seeing something else. You know, maybe they're, you know, seeing, this guy's breaking the rules. Who does this jumped up ex-carpenter from Galilee think he really is? What is he doing here? I'm not sure I want to go to dinner with this guy. I'm just going to lie low and hope it all blows over. Not going to happen. You go to dinner with Jesus and stuff is going to happen. Okay. Now, they're going into the dinner. So let's go to the next slide. Have you got the next one up there, Mark? Yeah, cool. When he noticed, so this is Jesus now. This is Jesus. First three words, when he noticed. Jesus is noticing everything that's going on around. Have you noticed that? Have you seen that about Jesus? He's noticing the man with the dropsy. And he's noticing the people at the dinner. And he's noticing, and he knows why they're doing what they're doing. He knows what they're thinking. You know, you can see it, you know, in the things that he says. So Jesus, when he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. So Jesus was a teacher. The only reason he was invited to this dinner really was not because people thought Jesus is an important man. He was a teacher. They have a tradition of listening to teachers. You know, a teacher could come and say some wisdom to you and you might learn a little something. Oh, I feel so important. I was talking to a rabbi today. Oh, there's his followers. They're nobodies. But anyway, maybe we'll get something out of this experience today. Jesus is there. And he tells them a parable. And everyone's like, oh, okay, parables are cool. Let's have a parable. So Jesus says something tough to them. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited to the banquet, go and sit down in the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher, and then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table for you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Hallelujah! So Jesus is starting working with the crowd with a little wisdom. A little sensible wisdom in a honor-shame culture. Nobody in that culture wants to be disgraced, heads up. It's like, you so do not want to be sent down to the bottom of the queue. That would be so embarrassing. So Jesus is like giving a bit of helpful wisdom for these people, but it's got something a little deeper in it, right? Because Jesus was himself so humble. So we know from eating all the accounts of dinners that Jesus went to, and he went to a lot, that normally when Jesus went to dinner, he was treated very badly. He was not treated like a guest of honor. And he didn't try to get treated like a guest of honor. The way he lived, he'd just go to the dinner and see what happened. He would interact with the people, and if they were treating him in a bad way, he might actually say, oh, since I came in, nobody washed my feet or anything I noticed. You know, look at that woman there washing my feet. You know, isn't that kind of interesting? So he was very honest with people, but he never pushed his way in. He's not jockeying for position. He was not being an influencer, you know? He's not trying to get people to pay attention to him or raise up his status. He didn't need to. Jesus knew who he was. But you know what? You see the people around him and they're not seeing him. They're seeing, okay, maybe this is a bit of a teacher and we can learn a few aphorisms for life, a few rules for life. That thing about, you know, not jostling for position, I can kind of see the sense of it really, but hey, do you reckon next time they would have done it any differently? Do you think so? I don't think so. I don't think they were listening for wisdom that day. Why? Why were they not listening for wisdom? Because they didn't put any store in the man. They didn't value the man. Why would they listen to his words and his teachings? To them, he's just a dude like them. How dare he? First he healed on the Sabbath, and now he's spouting wisdom. I mean, come on. So that's Jesus. He gives them some wisdom, but he doesn't stop there. So he has some information for the lowly members of the party, you know, not go pushing and jostling and trying to get up the top. And then he speaks to the host. Next verse. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and then you will get repaid. Hang on, Jesus, why wouldn't I want to get repaid? Hang on, what are you on about? Now the wisdom don't seem so practical, does it? Now he's saying something the opposite to what everybody thinks. Even in our society, surround yourself with good people. You know? All the wisdom that we get told, you know? Surround yourself with the successful. They'll be able to help you get a leg up in this world. It's practical wisdom. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Why are they going to listen to him? Do you think the host is going to listen to him and then next week he's going to do what Jesus says? When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you'll be blessed because they can't repay you, for you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Delay your gratification for the next life. And the host goes, who invited this guy? Send him down to the bottom. That's the kind of thing he likes. So why is Jesus here? What's he showing us? He's not giving us rules for life. The things he's saying are true. They're true and wise. But Jesus is revealing something more. Something so much more. And you won't receive it if you don't see him. You have to see him. And that is the greatest gift that Jesus gave. You know, this morning when I was having a shower and I was washing my hair, you might notice my curls are looking particularly bouncy today. I can tell you the reason why. Because when I was showering this morning, I didn't have my glasses on, of course, in the shower. And I read the shampoo bottle wrong and I washed my hair with conditioner. If you can't see, you're going to do the wrong thing. You're going to pick the wrong thing. You're going to do the wrong choice. You're going to do it for the wrong reason. You got to see the why. You got to see Jesus and why he's saying these things. Why is he saying these things? Why is he giving this advice about going lower, higher? Is he trying to get us to organize ourselves in society? No, Jesus has come for an important reason. He's come to reveal who God is. And if you can live your life in light of who God is, you will know how to live. Because you know what? If you try and get a list of rules and regulations, you will always get it wrong. Because the honest fact is, the Bible says the things that you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath, when the old covenant was still on, which the Jews were under, they had Sabbath laws that they were supposed to keep. They were serious laws. But Jesus comes along and he says, list of rules and regulations, guys. is not able to communicate the fullness of God to you. You need a Savior for that. And here I am telling you, my way is love, and that's what the commandments are always meant to represent. And so when you see someone on the Sabbath who's swelled up like a balloon, what do you think the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to heal. He wants us to heal. He wants us to be out there noticing what's going on. He wants us to be very responsive to the people in our life. He wants us thinking about how we interact with people. Are we going higher and pushing other people down? You know? Or are we pushing people down so we can go higher? Jesus tells one final parable in this dinner. Let's have the next slide. Okay, skip those. Okay, I've got a question at the top. We'll get to the question in a second. Let's read this next parable. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, says to Jesus, okay, so this is, you know, a little banter, a little dinner table conversation. Okay, Jesus, I'm listening to you. Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. That sounds like a kind of holy thing that you might say at a dinner party on the Sabbath when you've got a bunch of Pharisees sitting around discussing holy things. Jesus quickly brings the guy down to earth with a little parable here. Then Jesus said to him, someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. They all began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets. Polite refusal. Another said, I've just been married and therefore I cannot come. So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room. Then the master said to the slave, go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner. So if you're giving a big banquet and there's name tags on all the places, these are the people who have been honored. This is a great banquet. This is not little old everyday dinner party. This is a great banquet. You know, you would think that people who are jostling for position and trying to do things that are important and be with worthy people and all that, you think that the people would want to be at the great banquet, right? But no, what Jesus is saying is people don't really want to come to the great banquet. They're thinking about other things. Why don't they want to come to the great banquet? You know, why? Why don't they want to come? It's because they don't think the banquet's great. They don't see the banquet for what it is. They're thinking about other stuff that seems more important at the time. Can you imagine? I bought a piece of land and, yeah, I think I'm going to go out and just have a stroll around my field. That's a good way to spend the day. Why is Jesus telling this parable? Is he being mean to these people? No, I'm going to say to you, he's not being mean. He's being kind because he loves his people. And he's trying to shake them and say, wake up and see that there's a great banquet coming. There's a great banquet coming. And you're going to lose your spot at the table. And you know what? If you go to Israel today, until very recently, you could not buy a New Testament in a bookstore in Jerusalem. You couldn't. Because for the past 2,000 years, the Jewish people, well, I know they were not in Israel that whole time, but they have been cut off from the gospel. And only now, in our time, in these times, crazy times that we're in, Jewish people are coming in droves to Jesus. Praise God for that. But at this time, they were staring into 2,000 years of Jesus' own people saying, don't want a seat at the banquet. But you know what? This is not a polemic against the Jewish people. This is for all of us. Do we really want a seat at the table? Do we really value what's on offer? Are we turning up thinking about other things? Are we all caught up in other things? And you know, to be honest, I know there's people in the room that are ill. I know there's people in the room that are struggling with things. But everything in your life is better when you see Jesus. Because he can transform that situation. He can heal that situation. And you know what? He heals a lot. He heals physical illness a lot. But he heals hearts a lot, and he heals lives a lot, and he heals relationships a lot. And the greatest healing, of course, of all is to receive him as your Savior and to have an invitation to the banquet and have your name tag sitting there waiting for you. And that's what we all want, don't we? We got to see Jesus. It's the only way. It's not enough to have a glib, superficial faith that's like, oh, I'll do the rules of Christianity. I think I'm doing a little better. I think I'm doing a little better. Reading a little more Bible. You've got to see Jesus. And to do that, you know what? You've got to look for him everywhere. You've got to look in the scripture. You've got to look in your heart and say, am I seeing Jesus in myself today? I don't think so. And invite him in and say, Lord, I'm puffed up. I need you to heal my spiritual puffery. And bring me down to size. And help me to help others. And send me. I love that hymn that goes, I can't remember exactly how it goes. It's something like, send me in your love to those around me. Something like that, isn't it? Because if you see him, you will see the value. And if you see the value, you will sacrifice for it. You know, I know that in this room, and this room is filled with people who love Jesus, and they've devoted their life to serving him. And this is not a corrective, but I'm going to say to you, and I probably need to get my thing, is how are we going for time? Ooh, got a few minutes. How much can I fit in? I want to talk quickly about this passage. Can we go, Mark? The next one is about the Jesus heals the blind man. Jesus did a lot of healing, and he healed blind people a lot, and it's very symbolic, but it's very real. And Kay, you know, you can see Jesus too. I know you can. You don't have to be sighted physically to see Jesus. This is about seeing Jesus in the real. So why did Jesus do so many healings on the Sabbath? He did it to shake people up. He did it to shake people's spiritual normal and say, look, you're just seeing this glib, superficial faith. Let's have some real happenings here. So Jesus healed on the Sabbath often, and he even smeared mud on this guy's eyes because everyone would thought, ooh, that looks suspiciously like work to me. So Jesus is really shaking their tree. But healing the blind man, very important parable. I want to read one little section of that. I'm going to read it off the screen because I haven't got it here. Can you go to the next one? So this man, after he'd been healed by Jesus, got kicked out of the synagogue because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath and the guy wouldn't renounce Jesus. So Jesus went and found the man. So the man didn't know anyone and didn't know Jesus. So Jesus went and found him. So when Jesus heard that they'd driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man answered, who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And what did the man do? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He worshipped him. And that is the thing that puts everything in your life into perspective. If Jesus goes higher, you go lower. If Jesus goes higher, your life gets better. If you see Jesus, everything starts making sense. These parables are not just rules for life that are kind of like, oh, I can't keep all these rules in my head. No, you start to actually have them in your heart, because when you really see Jesus, you understand why he's doing the things he's doing. So let's have the next verse, Mark. I'm going to say, look for Jesus everywhere. Look for him everywhere. Ask him. Invite him into your life. Just say, I need reality. I need to see who I am. I need to see, because I don't understand what's going on with my life. I need the truth. And I'm prepared to go lower, Jesus. So you can go higher, because I want to see what you're going to do in my life. So this one, final verse. You might look at Jesus' parables in that dinner and think, oh, worst dinner guest ever. Why is he hassling the people? But he's not. He's being loving and kind. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. This is a message to one of the churches in the book of Revelation. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Jesus will come towards you. It's not just about the great banquet at the end. It's about now. You can have him in your life for real today. More Jesus in your life today. Whether you've already made a decision, whether you're waiting to make a decision, you can have more Jesus in your life. And I'm telling you, your life will get better and better. The more you're having him to dinner at your house, and he'll tell you hard things about your life. He'll be honest with you, but it's all for the good. So the more we see him, the more we love him. And the more we love him, the more our life will change. Jesus goes around noticing everything and notices everything about you. And he wants to touch you and heal you and bless you. So that's what I wanted to say to you today. We have a beloved Savior. The more we see him, the more our life will change. Don't delay. Seek his face. Pray. Read the Gospels. Read the whole Bible and look for it in there. It's everywhere in there, pointing to him. So can I pray for you all? And myself. Lord, we need to see you. We need to see you with spiritual eyes. Lord, I pray that you'll minister to your people at this time. We're in bizarre and wondrous times that we need a lot of courage. And I just pray that we will see you, Lord. We'll see what you're doing in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And help us to live our lives in the reality of who you are. You are the great God. I could have read so many verses tonight about you, about how you are now in your glorified state in heaven. But Lord, we just want to see you. So I ask that you bless each one with a gift of sight. Pour out your spirit, Lord. Make this a blessed week, and let the life come pouring out of us, we ask in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.